Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Managing Repositories for Installation of WebSphere Application Server Version 8. Today's presenters are Joe Mertzloff and Fishpal Shergill. Joe joined IBM in May 2001, providing Level 2 support for WebSphere payment products. He made a transition to WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support in February 2003. And in 2004, he accepted the role of subject matter expert for WebSphere Application Server install. He continues to provide Level 2 support for the product and works with WebSphere development to advocate improvement to the product's installation and update technologies. Fishpal joined IBM in May 2006 as a Level 2 support engineer. He currently serves in the role of subject matter expert for WebSphere Application Server install, update, and migration issues. In addition to working with IBM clients, he presents technical education sessions for WebSphere Level 2 support teams and has published several tech notes for handling product problem scenarios. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Fishpal.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Fishpal Shergill, and I'll start with the first part of presentation. Let's move to slide 2, please. Today's agenda, we will go over a brief overview of IBM Installation Manager. We'll discuss about repository concepts, IBM packaging utility. We'll talk how to create an enterprise repository, how to create platform scope repositories, and how to set up enterprise repository server. In the end, we will have some pointers on V8 install. Let's move to slide 3, please. Let's start with a brief introduction to Installation Manager and the offerings in WebSphere Application Server V8 suite. Slide 4, please. IBM Installation Manager. A single instance of IBM Installation Manager can manage the product lifecycle for any IBM Installation Manager-based product from WebSphere, Rational, Lotus, or any other brand within IBM. The IBM Installation Manager full product installation lifecycle management includes product installation, adding or removing features, or uninstallation of the product. Full service management includes installing and uninstalling iFixes or applying or rolling back fixbacks. IBM Installation Manager provides full graphical user interface for distributed platforms, excluding ZOS and IBM i operating system. But it provides a command line utility for all platforms to perform install operations silently. Let's move to slide 5, please. IBM WebSphere Application Server V8 products contain multiple offering packages: Application Server Network Deployment, Base, Express, IBM HTTP Server, etc. These offering packages are also available for download and to be installed directly from IBM Passport Advantage site. User must have a valid Passport Advantage user ID and password with entitlement to IBM WebSphere Application Server V8. All IBM WebSphere Application Server offerings must be installed using an IBM Installation Manager 1.4.3 or higher. Unlike previous versions of WebSphere Application Server, each offering in V8 contains complete program binary and can be installed on any supported distributed platform. 32-bit and 64-bit application server installable packages are combined in the same install media. We will discuss this later in the installation tips section. The slide also shows an example of the flow of installation, that is, install installation manager, use Installation Manager to install network deployment or base offering, apply fix tag, or add or remove features, and the same Installation Manager can be used to uninstall WebShed application server also. Let's proceed to slide 6, please. Let's talk about repositories. Slide 7. Repositories contain one or multiple product offerings that have both metadata and the actual payload for the offering. The offering metadata describes the name, supported platforms, optional features, and the prereq for the product. Normally, an IBM Installation Manager repository contains the full content that is required to install on various platforms. The repository can be referenced by different IBM Installation Managers on different machines, and the repository topologies can be generalized in three categories. A public repository is that can be accessible using a URL with an internet connection. Enterprise repository that typically exists behind the firewall and is only accessed by multiple machines within the enterprise internet. And there are local repositories that are used by single users and are not shared with other users. IBM Package Utility can be used to copy offerings from one repository to another. Since the repository contains both binary code and text-based XML files, we recommend them to be transferred in binary mode to prevent any corruption when using file transfer tools. Let's move to slide 8, please. For WebShed application server offerings, public repositories are available from Password Advantage. You need username and password to connect to Password Advantage, and username password can be configured in the Installation Manager. To use web repositories, depending on the offering being installed, you use the correct URL. The slide above shows URL for Express, network deployment, or base versions. For the URLs related to IBM HTTP server, plugin, or other offerings, please check version 8 Info Center. Local copy of repositories can be downloaded to local machine from Password Advantage and then need to be unzipped on the same machine. In this presentation, we will focus on the local repositories and how to create enterprise repository using local downloaded repositories. Please move to slide 9. Here, we show how to add any repository to Installation Manager. You go to File, Preferences, Repository menu, and then Add Repository. For the web repositories, you add the URL for the offering being installed. For local repositories, you provide the repository path up to and including the repository.config file that defines the repository. If you are using silent mode, then you will need to add the repository to the server section of the response file, as shown on the slide. Let's move to slide 10. The link mentioned on the slide lists part numbers available for different offerings in V8. Download the part numbers that are grouped together for the particular offering. For example, network deployment, download all the 4 zip files shown in the red. These will contain install media for all distributed operating systems, that is AIX, Windows, Linux, Solaris, and HP. Same install media for 32 and 64-bit binary. That is, there's no separate download for 32 or 64-bit. Similarly, for IBM HTTP server, plugin, application client, plugin configuration tool, download all the 4 supplemental media zip files shown in green on the slide. Please, let's move to slide 11. Now, extract all the zip files which belong to the same offering to the same directory. Please don't extract files belonging to different offerings to the same directory. The above example shows network deployment part being extracted. Notice all 4 zip files are extracted to the same directory. Then specify the repository path up to and including the repository.config file in the Installation Manager. Repositories can be unzipped on Windows and moved to Unix system. But be sure to use the binary mode to prevent any corruption during the file transfer. However, if you are unzipping Installation Manager's own installer.zip file, you should unzip it directly to the system that you want to install it to avoid any problems with file permissions. We can move to slide 12. This again shows the supplemental zip files being unzipped to a single directory. Note, the directory where the zip file is extracted is different than used in the previous example. Let's move to slide 13, please. Unlike previous versions of WebSphere Application Server, there is no separate download for WebSphere Application Server and Java SDK FixPack. WebSphere Application Server and JDK FixPack are the part of same update package. 32-bit and 64-bit updates are also included in the same update package. Some FixPacks are large enough that they are split into two separate zip files. If a FixPack lists multiple zip files, be sure to download all of them and extract their content into a same empty directory. Highlighted in red is WebSphere Application Server FixPack for AIX, Linux, Solaris, Windows, and HP for Network Deployment, Express, and Base Editions. Green shows the FixPack for IBM HTTP Server plugin, application client, and the yellow shows the FixPack for WebSphere Customization Toolkit, or we even call it WCP. Please note that on distributed platform, WCP is required to get plugin configuration tool, that is PCT, which is needed to configure the plugins. Although the PCT is initially installed from the supplemental installation repository, the PCT FixPack is actually separate from the supplemental FixPack repository. Also, please note that WCP provides the profile management tool and the migration wizard for ZOS. If you have installed this tool for managing the ZOS environment, then you will need this FixPack to update the WCP tool. Let's move to slide 14, please. Now we show how we extract the FixPack. So extract all the zip files downloaded for the same offering to the same directory. For example, as in the above, we unzip both zip files for WAS in the same directory. Then add the FixPack repository to the installation manager. For other offerings, also unzip a set of related zip files together, but extract them to a directory separate from other FixPack extractions. We can move to slide 15. The slide shows options available for install when WebSphere Application Server Network Deployment, Supplemental, FixPack 1 for WAS, and FixPack 1 for supplemental repositories are added to Installation Manager. These are the packages which we have extracted in the previous slides. In this example, we intentionally choose to show that what happens if a FixPack is missing from the set of repositories. Notice that FixPack 1 for WCP is missing from the list, so we only see the option to install 8.0.0.0 of WCP. If you see such behavior, you should review your repository to see what is missing. Let's move to slide 16. Now we will discuss an overview of IBM packaging utility. Let's move on to slide 17. IBM packaging utility is a free companion tool to Installation Manager. They both can be used independently of each other. IBM Packaging Utility is a packaging tool that creates and manages software package repositories in the correct format for IBM Installation Manager. You can use IBM Packaging Utility to move packages between or delete packages from repositories. It can create new repositories containing one or more offerings. For example, WAS, IBM HTTP Server, plugin installation media can be combined into a single repository using packaging utility. It can also extract offerings for a single operating system from a large repository producing a smaller platform scope repository. Let's move to slide 18, please. Why process repositories? With packaging utility, you can create your own customized sets of repositories, which are called enterprise repositories. As mentioned earlier, doing this can help reduce the overall size of a large set of repositories. It's also possible to host these enterprise repositories within your own organization using a web or FTP server. We will go over this in greater detail later. If you choose to combine multiple repositories using packaging utility, then it becomes easier to manage them using Installation Manager because few repositories need to be added to your Installation Manager preferences. Move to slide 19, please. Local repositories downloaded from IBM are split into multiple disks. They cannot be served from HTTP or FTP server. But once generated or combined using the IBM packaging utility, can be served from web server or FTP server. Packaging utility processes these kinds of repositories so they can be consumed by IaaS. Repositories generated using IBM packaging utility are always full installation repository capable of installing a product from scratch. Generated enterprise repositories can have fixed pack included. The repository is capable of installing the product from scratch or to the desired fixed pack level. The same repository can be used to update the existing product to the latest fixed pack level. Let's go on to slide 20. The example on this slide shows how to download IBM packaging utility for Windows. You can reach the first page listed by visiting the URL at the top of the slide and move to download the packaging utility for the platform that you wish to. Let's move to slide 21. This slide shows an example for a Windows packaging utility. So you extract the zip file downloaded in the previous slide to an MP directory. There is a self-installation kit which includes the installation manager as highlighted in the green, which in case you do not have an installation manager installed on the machine. But in our case, this is not required. We will use an existing installation manager to install the packaging utility. So the process is the same as you use installation manager to install any other product. As shown on the slide, you add the path to disk-tag.ins of the extracted package. You can see the disk-tag.ins highlighted in red in the left. This is similar to repository.config in other repositories. Click OK and then click Install on the main panel of Installation Manager. Let's move to slide 22. Once you have installed the IBM packaging utility in graphical mode, you can run it in the graphical mode using IBM PU .exe on Windows or ibmpu.sh on Unix. There is a command line tool available, pucl.exe. Both the commands are highlighted in green on the slide. Command line mode is the only supported method for generating platform scoped repositories, and we'll talk about it in the later slides. Let's move to slide 23. Now, I'll turn the presentation to our next speaker, Joseph Motloff.
Thank you, Vishpal. At this point, we'll discuss how to create repositories using the packaging utility. We can move to slide 24, please. New repositories are created by copying packages from other repositories. Our examples in the next slides will focus on using local repositories, which were downloaded in advance using a web browser connecting to IBM.com. The local repositories will have already been unzipped on our test system. These repositories will be our sources for copying packages. But keep in mind that you can also instruct packaging utility to connect directly to IBM.com to obtain packages. This means you do not need to download and unzip repositories in advance of using Packaging Utility. Once you've started the Packaging Utility, choose the Copy Packages option to begin the process of creating a new repository. Let's move to slide 25. The Packaging Utility will ask you to specify your source repositories. You can specify multiple repositories here. To add repositories to the list, click the Open Repository button. You can then specify the location of a repository and add your list of source repositories. In this example, we are providing the location of our WAS Network Deployment Edition installation repository. If you are using a public web repository on IBM.com, then also click the Passport Advantage button on the right and provide your Passport Advantage credentials. Once you've added one or more source repositories, click Next. Let's move to slide 26, please. After selecting the source repositories, you'll be presented with a list of all the product packages in the source repositories. You can choose which packages you want to include in the new repository which you will be generating. In this example, we're showing that you can choose to combine WAS Network Deployment as well as several of the supplemental offerings, such as the IBM HTTP Server and WebSphere plugin. All these offering packages will be combined into a new repository. After choosing what you want, click Next. You'll then be asked to accept the license agreement. Do that, and then click Next. Please go to slide 27. After choosing the packages, you can now choose the location where the new repository will be generated. Note that you can choose the location of an already existing repository as your target. The packages you have chosen will be merged into that already existing repository. Once you've chosen the location, click Next. Then review the summary information. Notice it provides details such as the size of the resulting repository. Click the Copy button to begin the process of generating the repository. We can go to slide 28, please. As mentioned earlier, it's possible to choose an already existing repository as your target repository. This allows you to merge more packages into an existing repository. In this example, we're showing that you can choose to merge a new fix pack into an existing repository. The screenshot shows all of the packages listed when you add WAS Fix Pack 1 and the supplemental Fix Pack 1 to your list of source repositories. We intend to merge these into the repository that we created in the previous example. That brings us to something which you do need to be careful about. Notice that Fix Pack 1 contains updates for many editions of different products, such as Network Deployment, Base, Express, Trial Edition, and editions for other products, such as IBM HTTP Server. In this case, we're interested in updating the packages that we selected in the previous example. So we need to only select those packages from the Fix Pack 1 list and try not to add Fix Pack 1 packages that don't belong in our new repository. Let's move to slide 29. Now that we've selected the additional packages to merge, we can provide the location of our already existing repository to merge the packages into. In this example, we're adding fix packs to the repository, which was output from Packaging Utility in our first example. We can move to slide 30, please. Whenever you generate or merge a repository using Packaging Utility, you can use it with Installation Manager in the same way as other repositories. You would add the location of the repository's repository.config file to Installation Manager's preferences list. When you click the Install or Update button in Installation Manager, you'll see all the new packages, such as the Fix Pack 1 packages, show up in the list of available products or updates. We can go to slide 31 now. And now we'll cover a new concept called platform-scoped repositories. Let's go ahead to slide 32, please. The packaging utility has introduced a new feature as of version 1.5.0.1. This technology preview feature allows you to take an existing repository and create a new repository from it, extracting only the packages for a specific operating system and architecture. We call the resulting repository a platform scoped repository. That is to say, the repository is generated with packages only for a particular platform instead of a repository which contains packages for all the platforms. For example, it's possible to generate a WebSphere application server version 8 repository for the Windows operating system only. These platform scoped repositories are smaller than the original full repositories. Please note that this is a technology preview, so the capabilities and limitations of this feature may change in future versions of packaging utility beyond version 1.5.0.1. But we felt like this was important enough to discuss in this presentation now, even though this feature is in the preview stage. Our WebSphere installation server installation architect has written an article which explains this feature. If you're interested in learning more about this feature after today's discussion, I encourage you to visit the URL on this slide. We'll move to slide 33, please. Platform scope repositories are treated similarly to the other repositories that we've discussed in this presentation. You use Installation Manager to install them in the same manner as any other repository. However, since this concept is part of a technology preview, you may notice some limitations. For example, Installation Manager does not show in the repository's description that the repository is limited to a specific set of operating systems or architectures. For this reason, we recommend using appropriate, meaningful names for the directories where you store your repositories so you understand what they really do contain. Now, as you've seen earlier, you can perform tasks such as merging fix packs with the initial installation repository for a product. When you do that, you can also use this platform scoping feature to extract a particular operating system and architecture from that combined install and fix pack repository. However, we do recommend that you use this platform scoping as the last step in a project where you're merging repositories. This is because under some circumstances, you can't reuse a platform scoped repository as a source for merging with other repositories. Leaving the platform scoping as a final step helps avoid issues. So this means that if you're using local repositories, you should keep at least one copy of the full repository for installers and fix packs and generate these platform scoped repositories from those full repositories. Or alternatively, you can use packaging utility to connect directly to the web repositories on IBM.com, which saves you from needing to keep any local repository copies. We can move to slide 34 now. This feature is accessible using the command line version of the packaging utility, which is called PUCL. Note that this platform scoping utility is only available on the command line, so in order to use this feature, you will need to use the command line similar to what's shown at the top of this slide. Let's discuss the individual parameters in general terms. I'll discuss some examples later. Run the PUCL command and specify that the operation is copy, as shown by the first parameter after the PUCL command here. Next, you'll specify the package ID and version. The package ID parameter specifies what package you want to copy out of your group of repositories. The optional version parameter can specify if you want to copy a specific fix pack level of that package. You can use this in order to merge specific fix packs into your target repository. If you're unsure of what package ID and version is appropriate to specify here, open a repository's repository.xml file. Our repository's package ID and version is mentioned near the top of that file. Then specify the Dash Repositories option and list the source repositories. You can specify multiple repositories separated by commas. After that, specify the Dash Target parameter and then put the full path to where you want to generate the new repository. If any of the source repositories require authentication, such as the password advantage, you can actually specify that Dash Prompt option. So this command will prompt you for those authentication credentials. Let's move to slide 35. Next, you can specify your platform scope using the Dash Platform parameter. This is the essence of this new feature. Using this, you can choose a specific operating system and architecture to copy into the target repository. The Dash Platform parameter uses a specific format, shown in the example highlighted in bright red at the top of the slide. You can specify OS equals whatever your operating system choice is, a comma, then Arch equals your architecture choice. You can choose from the values listed in the middle of the slide for operating system choices. Note that you can only choose one operating system choice. You cannot specify multiple operating systems, at least not here. The architecture parameter is optional. There are actually only two operating systems where the parameter is relevant, which are Linux and Solaris. The valid architecture choices for those operating systems are listed on the slide. The architecture choice really isn't relevant for other operating systems, and so it should be omitted in those cases. Let's move on to slide 36. Both the 64-bit and 32-bit packages are copied into the targeted platform scoped repository. It's actually not possible to separate 32-bit and 64-bit packages in WebSphere version 8 repositories. As a side note, this statement is also true for the Windows platform. Even though the operating system parameter calls it Win32, the Win32 operating system choice encompasses both 32-bit and 64-bit Windows packages. We'll move to slide 37 now. Here's an example of how to use the PUCL command following the template we've discussed so far. If you were to follow this example, it would produce a WebSphere application server version 8.0.0.0 installation repository for Windows 32-bit and 64-bit platforms. This resulting repository would be smaller than our original installation repository. Let's look at the individual elements of this command. We specify the PUCL command with the copy option and name the WebSphere application server version 8 network deployment edition package. That's com.ibm.websphere.nd.v8.0, which I learned from reading the repository.xml file in that source repository. We can then specify the location of the repository that we want to copy from. In this case, we're using the same path that we've used in our other examples throughout this presentation. This path contains the local repository for installing WAS version 8 network deployment. The dash target parameter specifies the location where we will write the newly generated repository. Note that we've chosen an empty directory named wasnd_windows/8.0, which helps us identify that this repository is version 8 network deployment for Windows only. Finally, we specify the platform parameter with OS equals Win32. Again, as we mentioned earlier, we're only including local repository examples here due to space constraints. But you could just as easily add a web repository URL, such as on Passport Advantage, for that Dash Repositories option. This would save you that step of downloading the 4 zip files and extracting them before doing this. Slide 38, please. Now let's discuss a subsequent example to the previous slide with an important difference. This example will merge version 8 installation repository with a FixPack 1 repository and only copy the Windows platform into the targeted repository. So we're producing a repository capable of installing the product at version 8.0.0.1 for Windows. Again, the repository contains the packages for both the 32-bit and 64-bit editions of the product. Notice that we're specifying two repositories for the source repositories, which allows the PUCL tool to merge the original installer and FixPack repositories. Also, notice that I'm specifying the same target repository as I had used in the previous example. If I executed that previous example's command, then executed this command, then FixPack 1 would be merged into the existing target repository. I could use a similar example in the future when a newer FixPack, such as FixPack 3, becomes available. Slide 39, please. Now we'll discuss a separate concept, enterprise repository servers. As we'll learn in this section, the enterprise repository server is a concept that's separate from the IBM packaging utility, but enterprise repository servers and the IBM packaging utility can be powerful when used together. Move to slide 40, please. In order to explain this concept, we'll start with a diagram that shows a workflow which includes enterprise repository servers. In a corporate environment, most or all of the systems running WebSphere application server are behind a firewall. Those systems are represented here in the yellow cloud. Installation Manager needs to run on each of those production systems in order to install and update the product. However, behind the firewall, Installation Manager cannot directly access IBM.com in order to pull the product repositories. To address this, you could download local repositories and copy them to each system. This was the typical method of managing previous versions of WebSphere, but this does consume time and disk space. An alternative way to address this is to run your own servers to host packages. We'll call them enterprise repository servers. You can even use the IBM packaging utility from a staging system to connect to IBM.com and obtain repositories, which you can then transfer to the enterprise repository server. Installation managers then can then retrieve the repositories hosted on that server. In the upcoming discussion, I'll explain how these concepts fit together. We can go to slide 41 now. There are different options you could use for hosting enterprise repositories. You can use a web server and serve the repositories over standard HTTP or secure HTTPS. You can use an FTP server, which is similar to the idea of using a web server. You could also choose to use a network file system to host the repositories. This idea is actually more similar to using a local repository, except Installation Manager would be reading a repository from a remote file system. Or you can forego any idea of using a server and, again, simply copy repositories to each individual system that needs to install products or updates. Let's proceed to slide 42 now. Now let's discuss how to use a web server as an enterprise repository server. You can use any standard web server product to accomplish this. We won't delve into the exact steps for setting up a web server process. Instead, we'll discuss the advantages of doing this along with guidelines for hosting repositories. An enterprise repository server allows you to serve repositories within your own company intranet. The systems running WASD do not need to connect to IBM.com to retrieve repositories, and you do not need to copy repositories to all the systems that need to install the product or update it. This helps save time and file system space. The fact that you own the enterprise repository server means that you're in control of the repositories that you want to make available for installation. This is helpful for tightly controlled systems where only certain product fixes are allowed to be installed. It can also give you an opportunity to host important interim fixes that need to be applied to a large number of systems. Repositories are static content that don't need to have any special requirements for hosting. So when using a web server to host repositories, the repository data only needs to be copied to a directory under the document root of a web server. If the web server hosting the repositories requires authentication, then Installation Manager can be configured to provide those credentials to the web server. Let's move to slide 43, please. Even Installation Manager itself can be updated using enterprise repositories. Similar to other product repositories, Installation Manager update repositories can be hosted on a web server. This means that individual installation managers can take advantage of the self-update feature without having to connect to IBM.com or having to manually copy an installer package to the target system. You don't have to use the IBM packaging utility to connect to IBM.com to retrieve the repositories that you want to host. If you choose not to use the packaging utility, you can instead manually download the local repositories from IBM.com using your web browser, then extract them to the directories hosted by the web server. But there are advantages to using the packaging utility to handle this process. If you do use the packaging utility to obtain repositories directly from IBM.com, then you have different options. You can choose to combine all the repositories from IBM.com into your own single large repository. You can copy that large repository to the web server's document root directory. This allows you to host all the product packages from a single location. Or you could opt not to combine all the web repositories and keep individual repositories in separate directories on the web server. There are certain repositories, such as the V8 installation repositories, that are split up into separate disks or separate zip files when you download the local repositories from IBM.com. A repository split into separate disks cannot be hosted from a web server. To make this kind of repository available on a host, use the packaging utility's copy function to copy the repository into a different repository. This process merges the splits, which allows the repository to be hosted by a server. Incidentally, the reason some repositories are split in the first place is because some product repositories and fixed pack repositories are quite large. They're split up in order to allow them to be burned to physical media like DVDs. Slide 44, please. Here's a brief example showing you how you can modify a default configuration file in IBM HTTP server to host an enterprise repository. In this case, we copied one of the enterprise repositories created using packaging utility to a Windows system. We can take a default IBM HTTP server's httpd.conf file and edit it, changing the document root and related settings into the example shown here. After following this example, you can use Installation Manager to access the repositories on the host. To do this, add the enterprise repository server's URL to Installation Manager's repository preferences, as we had demonstrated early in this presentation. Add a standard URL, such as http://hostname. Alternatively, you can set up the repositories under different directories in the HTTP server's document root. In that case, you can add URLs pointing to the different paths to the individual repositories on that server. We can go to slide 45, please. Why might an administrator choose to use a web or FTP server as a host instead of using a networked file system? Well, network faults which disrupt a mounted file system can be potentially disruptive for Installation Manager as well, because the repositories accessed through a file system are expected to be always available and not disrupted. But when connecting to web servers, Installation Manager can use a resume function to survive network faults. Network file systems do require the local system to mount the NFS. Repositories hosted on a web or FTP server don't require that kind of additional configuration on that local system. This is particularly useful when combined with the WebSphere Application Server version 8 Job Manager. The Job Manager has access to the centralized installation feature. Our product documentation refers to this feature as CIM or SIM. The centralized installation feature is capable of installing Installation Manager on remote systems. It's also capable of giving instructions to a remote installation manager to install products or updates from repositories. This centralized installation feature works best when connecting to an enterprise repository server. So if you're interested in using the centralized installation feature, it's also useful to set up an enterprise repository server. Unfortunately, delving further into that centralized installation feature is outside our scope today, but it's certainly a feature worth using in combination with what we're discussing here today. Finally, some administrators find it useful to use web server authentication and logging features to maintain an audit trail of systems downloading, installation, and update repositories. Let's proceed to slide 46 now. That concludes our overview of Enterprise Repository Servers. Now we'd like to discuss some helpful tips for installing these repositories in Installation Manager. At this point, I'll turn our presentation back to Vishafal.
Thank you, Joseph. Let's go to slide 47, please. Now, in this feature selection panel during the install of WebSphere 8 offerings, the SDK feature only shows up when installing on a 64-bit operating system. So if you're installing an operating system which is 64-bit, you have an option to either install IBM 32-bit or IBM 64-bit Java. Once this feature is installed, it cannot be modified again. If the installation is on a 32-bit operating system, this feature choice between the options to install the Java will not be available, and it will automatically install 32-bit Java. In previous version of WebSphere Application Server, there are separate installable packages for 32-bit versus 64-bit WebSphere Application Server. In version 8, they have been combined into one single installable package. By choosing the IBM 32-bit SDK, it is equivalent to install a 32-bit WebSphere Application Server on a 64-bit operating system. Let's move to slide 48, please. This is again a screenshot showing when doing the installation on a 32-bit operating system. As mentioned in the previous slide, notice it installs 32-bit JDK by default, and there's no option to choose 32-bit or 64-bit Java. Let's move to slide 49. This slide shows the options which you can use when trying to install or using silent mode. So the options, you need to specify 32-bit or 64-bit when you're installing WebSphere Application Server, HTTP Server, plugin, or any other V8 offering. Notice that the options for all three are different when it comes to Java for Application Server, plugin, and HTTP Server. For other offerings like App Client, etc., check the V8 Info Center. At this point, I'll pass back to Joseph Mertzler to finish the remaining slides.
Thank you, Vishafal. Now we'll discuss the IMCL command line tool. We can move to slide 50, please. Installation Manager has a command line tool named IMCL. It's located under the Tools subdirectory of Installation Manager. IMCL can use command line options, response files, or something called interactive mode. Interactive mode is not yet supported by version 8. However, other IBM products do support it, and a future V8 fix pack may introduce support for this feature. This is intended to be an alternative feature to using the graphical mode. The top screenshot shows an example of using IMCL to conduct an installation using a response file prepared earlier. The area highlighted in white shows the parameters for running that response file. The topic of using response files is a deep subject outside the scope of this presentation. You'll find more information and examples in the WebSphere Information Center. You also may find it useful to review our previous WSTE presentation, Best Practices for Installing V7 Feature Packs, which discusses the structure of response files. You can also use command line options with IMCL to install product packages, as shown in the bottom screenshot. Again, refer to the WebSphere Application Server Info Center for details. Slide 51, please. This concludes our presentation. Today we've discussed how we can use IBM Installation Manager to install and update WebSphere Application Server V8 products. We've also delved into using the IBM Packaging Utility to retrieve and combine offerings into new enterprise repositories. We've discussed using the dash platform parameter with PUCL command to generate smaller platform scoped repositories. And then finally, we've discussed the use of a web server or other remote access method to allow Installation Manager to retrieve repositories within a corporate intranet. Thank you. We can proceed to slide 52, and I believe Joseph will take over from here.
Thank you, Joe, and Fishpile for a great presentation today. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Asha Mishra, your line is open.
Yes. I wanted to ask whether now with all this common packaging, is the problem related to 32-bit versus 64-bit plugin update, JDK update, has that been resolved? Because I still saw all the three options are allowed where you can use, you know, plugin at different level, different bit level, and, you know, IHS at different bit level, et cetera.
Well, I believe if you're referring to some of the issues that we did admittedly have with version 7 and earlier regarding some mismatches between what fixed pack you'd apply, 32-bit versus 64-bit, to the JDK component versus the fixed pack that you'd apply for the plug-in component or IHS component, I think we can say this new packaging scheme kind of rendered that moot. Now that the fixed packs that we're delivering combine both the product updates and JDK updates into the same package, Installation Manager always makes the right choice in choosing whether it's supposed to install a 32-bit or 64-bit component. So if that is what you're referring to, I think it's fair to say that it is solved, but really because the model is different now.
But we are still allowing this mix and match kind of a thing. Is there any reason for that?
Asha, with mix and match, you mean that having a different bit level on Node or Deployment Manager or different bit level between plug-in IHS and WAS?
Mainly plug-in IHS and WAS. I did not know that we can have a different bit level for different nodes as well. That will even complicate the matter, I think.
Well, it doesn't necessarily, in regards to nodes, it doesn't necessarily complicate things in the sense that when you're running a cell, different applications hosted in the cell may have different needs. You may have some applications that actually perform better, you know, avoid garbage collection issues in 32-bit WebSphere environments, and then you may also be hosting applications that have very large memory requirements, so they need to run in 64-bit environments. And network deployment, the deployment manager treats those nodes as the same thing in the cell. And again, because fixed packs now combine the product updates and the SDK updates, when you're updating different nodes installation manager understands whether it should be applying a 32-bit or 64-bit SDK update to a particular node. Now, as to what you were originally asking about plug-in and IHS, this is something that I would need to double-check, but I believe you do have the option to choose whether you want a 32-bit or 64-bit JDK when you're installing IHS or the plugin, and that's in your hands. Most versions of IHS that are running are 32-bit, and so if there's a concern about mixing 32-bit IHS and a 64-bit Java, you have the option to just stick with the 32-bit JDK in that case.
Okay, thank you.
Sure thing.
Our next question comes from Herman. Your line is open.
Hello, good afternoon. I just have a question regarding the PUCL utility. Can this be used to copy a repository directly to a remote location behind the firewall, for example, using SCP?
No, it cannot be used to directly copy something to a remote location. PUCL will only pull a repository to the same system that PUCL is running on. However, if you use the idea of running some web server, what I have termed an enterprise repository server, if you happen to be running that server on the same system as PUCL, then you could put that repository in a directory that's served by the web server, and then remote systems that are running WAS and Installation Manager could pull the package off that system.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, and actually I can elaborate one more thing on that topic. Although we just couldn't delve into it, but I can tell from our chat that it's definitely a topic that's garnering interest. The centralized installation feature in network deployment and base edition now with the job manager is capable of activating remote installations. Again, that's a whole deep subject, and hopefully someday we'll be able to present on it. I'm sorry we just didn't have enough time to delve completely into it and do it justice today.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Nareem. Your line is open.
The question I have is, let's say that we have created our own repository and we just need to install an iFix. Is the installation manager going to download the whole repository and then just apply the iFix, or we are concerned about how much data is going to be transferred over the network in order to just apply an iFix?
So you already have an existing installation which has the V8 and everything. In that case, it's going to just pull the meta-ins and everything which is related to the iFix only.
So when it does that, does it get the whole repository locally, extract it, select the iFix and just do that, or does it only get the iFix is what I'm concerned?
No, it's just going to, when you're going to point to it, you're going to just point to the iFix only, right? So it's going to just get the iFix part only added to the shared directory. The shared directory on IAM side already has the details about the V8 or whatever fix path you are at.
So it's not only going to get iFix and nothing else?
Yeah.
That's one of the advantages of pulling data from either IBM.com or your own enterprise repository server. The installation manager is more selective about what it actually downloads locally.
But we usually host it on a network file share. So is that going to be okay? Because that's like a local repository, right?
That is right. That is like a local repository. That's something I would have to, I'd have to look into that. My understanding is it actually may still only copy the portion that's necessary. Like Vish mentioned, this shared directory concept or shared resources directory concept that IAM uses acts as a cache for packages to describe the products and fixed packages that you've already installed. So assuming that the shared data directory is already populated with all the other package data, I believe that IAM will only download the data necessary for the iFix, even from an NFS in that case.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Mike Murphy, your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to revisit a question that was in the chat regarding installing the product, the base product and the fixed pack at the same time or doing it separately with being able to uninstall a fixed pack. So if we install the base product and then a fixed pack, we have to do two separate operations. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I'm really clear on that concept if we want to be able to uninstall a fixed pack.
Is the ultimate goal to install the entire product or just roll back the fixed pack?
Let's say we're now at fixed pack 2 is available for Westware 8, and I want to do a new installation. If I select 8.0.0.2, it's going to install Westware 8 with fixed pack 2 all in one operation. And from what I understood from the chat is I would not be able to uninstall the fixed pack if I did it that way. So will I need to tell the installation manager only install 8.0, no fixed pack, and then run it again and install the fixed pack so that it is uninstallable?
Thank you for the clarification. That makes it clear to me. Yes, in that case, that would be correct. You're right that it is possible to install something like 8.0 plus 8.0.2 in a single operation, but you're accurate that the consequence of doing so is that the fixed pack 2 data is essentially permanently merged into the product that you're installing. So if you really do want the option to roll back that fixed pack later on, you would need to make that a separate install, distinct 8.0.0 install, and then a distinct separate 8.0.0.2 install.
Okay, and then as far as the software repositories, if I decide to create these merged enterprise repositories, am I going to be able to have a single repository that has 8.0 and fixed pack 1 and fixed pack 2 and fixed pack 3 and so on, where I can select any of those from when I'm doing my install, or is it
yes.
Going to be cumulative?
Yes. That's the whole thing about enterprise repositories. Like, you can keep adding the fixed pack and keep that repository, and on one system you can install 8.0 with fixed pack 2, another system you can install 8.0 with fixed pack 4, and so on.
Okay, great. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Sasha. Your line is open.
Hi. I was wondering, but when I have the repositories in the GUI, in the preferences, the list of repositories, is there a way to edit this via any command line?
So the question is that you already have an existing repository, let's say 8.0.1 with 8.0.2, and you want to remove fixed pack 2 out of it?
No. When I use the GUI from Installation Manager, I can, in the preferences, I have the list of all the repositories I've ever used. They are kind of stored there, and I would like to remove them or some of them or add others. I can only do this with a GUI. I have not found another way to edit this list of repositories that is used by the Installation Manager.
Well, now let me clarify here. So in this case, are we talking about the list of packages which Installation Manager is going to install? Are we talking about things that you might use packaging utility to manipulate for combining or deleting repositories?
Yeah, I'm not talking about packages, but I can I can add certain types of repositories like URLs or directories in the preferences of the installation manager in the GUI.
Okay. Actually, yes, I can speak to that. For installation manager, if you are choosing to install in silent mode or instead of the GUI, you can specify your list of repositories in a response file. The response file encompasses pretty much everything about an install or uninstall or rollback operation. It describes which product you want to update, your list of repositories, and then what operation or plural operations you want to do, like installing a product or multiple products or fix packs or uninstalling. So that can all be done from response files. And that, again, that's something that I'll refer back to the other WSTE presentation I alluded to earlier about best practices for managing version 7 feature packs. In that presentation, Vish and I spent a good chunk of our time discussing what I'll call the anatomy of the silent response files.
Yes, I've used response files, but I cannot use response files to edit this list that is kept somewhere internally in Installation Manager. This is used by with the GUI.
Oh, I see. Well, no, you cannot edit the list directly, but when you use a response file, you can specify whether the response file is going to respect the list that you have already specified in IAM's preferences, or whether you will strictly use only what is defined in the response file and to actually ignore the list in the preferences. And actually, I catch myself here. I do realize there is a slight option here. Along those same lines of specifying things in the response file and choosing whether or not you want to use what's already defined in the preferences, you can specify another option to merge what you have in your list in the response file into IAM's preferences. So you could actually keep adding things to the IAM preferences list, but there just isn't an option through the response files to remove preferences from that list. But I'll also mention that the IMCL command, if you choose to install and uninstall packages on the command line, all gives you a similar idea where you can pretty much explicitly specify packages, the packages that you want to use. Vish, are there other thoughts you can add to this, since you've had some more experience with IMCL than I have?
I think we can use IMCL to clean the repositories also. There's an option with IMCL.
Well, that would be a useful option, yes.
Yes. I'll check on the exact command and get back to you, Sacha. That's your email, right?
Thank you. May I ask another question? I was wondering why the six-pack files delivered in two zip files, because it would be so convenient to have it in one zip file which can be used right away as a repository.
Actually, I think the reason for that is the size. Like I mentioned, it's due to the size of the fix pack that we have to split them in zip files, because when we try to download those, most of the time, you know, if it's a very big file, the network dies or something, especially for local repositories. So that's the reason for WAS and supplemental are split. But if you look at the one for the customization toolkit, that's a single zip file. So, because just keep in mind that, you know, in V8, it's a single one fixed pack for ND base and all the distributed platforms and everything.
Okay, thanks.
Sure thing. I'll also add, what you're asking, though, is the kind of feedback that we take back to the development team about these kinds of things. So even though right now it is the way it is, we do mention this kind of feedback to the developers, and it's the kind of thing they take into consideration.
Thank you.
Sure.
We have no further questions over the phone.
Thank you, Jackie. We will conclude the presentation at this point in time.